We're in the book of James. I think you remember we've been there for a couple of weeks off from it, and we were talking about patience a couple of weeks ago, and didn't quite get to the end of that, so I thought, you don't want to miss out on my amazing thinking on this. So I thought we'd just tie this off this week. So let's just read James chapter 5, 7 to 11, just to give us a reminder of where we're at. So it says this, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You've heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." I think the last time we spoke about this, we kind of concluded that the fact that God is not in a hurry. God is patient. He's patient with us. And that even the coming of Jesus for a second time, that God is holding that off because he wants as many men and women, as many people as possible to come to know him and be part of his kingdom. But we're moving to the kind of second part of this passage. James also, he reflects on the fact that we also have to be patient in times of suffering. Now, I think we all know that, don't we, right? So when things aren't going well, the hardest thing to, do well is to be patient and wait, you know, through those difficult times. I don't know if you're like me. I think I've said this before, but probably one of my most common prayers is, "God, get me out of this. Stop this now. Make it right. Lift me out and get me out of this bad space and get me into a good space." But actually, life's not like that. And James also reminded us back in James chapter 1, he said that, you know, when we are going through troubled times, when he called it tribulations, difficult times, that's when we should actually find joy in that. Because during those times, God is refining us and he's teaching us and showing us how to come through. And I think for those of us that get a wee bit older, you do actually learn that through life, don't you? I can see Heather nodding there. Not that you're one of the older people, but thanks for affirming that. But you do, if you go through a difficult situation and then go through a similar thing a second time, you probably handle it slightly better. Or certainly, if not better, you would learn from the previous experience. And we need to have patience through suffering. And James says this in verse 10 of chapter 5. "For examples of patience and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Now, this is interesting because what James is telling us here is something that I try and encourage you guys to do quite a lot. As James is saying here, go and read your Bible. He's saying, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Well, the only way you're going to be able to look at that is if you read your Bible. So there's loads of stories, loads of stuff in the Old Testament about the Old Testament prophets who spoke amazing words from God. Some of them were extremely most of them were extremely unpopular. But in their faith and their belief that they were speaking out the words of God, they went through a lot of suffering. And when we look at those people, we learn loads of examples of patience in the face of suffering and difficult times. And that's because a lot of the prophets, maybe even most of them in the Old Testament, preached a message of judgment. And nobody likes to hear a message of judgment. Anybody like to be judged? Not a great thing to hear, is it? So, I've got a few examples here that I'm just going to quickly just kind of headline. But again, I would encourage you to kind of go yourself and read about what these prophets went through. You know, one of the most famous ones is Jeremiah. If you read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah has a lot of what we call lament, where he can see that he's delivering a difficult word from God, but he's also going through pain in his own circumstances. But when you think of the prophet, or the one in Old Testament who really suffered, you think of Job, right? You know, the patience of Job. It's a saying, right? The patience of Job. And James actually mentions him in verse 11. He says, "We give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end, for the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy." We've not got time to take on the story of Job. That's a whole other, that we probably need to do about 12 months plus of a series to look at the story of Job. But God described Job as a righteous man. But Job actually was tested and went through suffering, possibly, in fact, most likely, in a way that we have never experienced or will experience. And we can look at Job as an example of endurance and patience and long-suffering. And sometimes we can maybe look at Job as if he was some kind of like superhero saint. But when you read things that Job said, there was times when he said to God, "I wish I'd never been born." That's not someone who's cruising. That's not someone who's just thinking, I'm okay, I'm going through this hard time, but my faith is so strong, I can just glide through this. This is someone who's really suffering. If someone's to say words like that, genuinely, they're not in a good place. They're not enjoying the times that they were in. And but even through all that, like Job, he said things to God that we might find unbelievable. He was very raw in his conversations with God, but he never renounced God. He never crossed that line to say, "God, I'm done with you." And I think, you know, we can get to that place, can't we? Where it feels like, how dark can this get? How bad can this get? You think you're at the low point, and then there's another broadside comes in and knocks you sideways. And it tests your faith. And are we really capable or really willing to praise God and give him honor in those moments where we're really, really struggling? Aidan, actually, at the start of the service, if you were on time, you would have heard this. But Aidan actually said that it doesn't matter what kind of week we've had. We could have had the best week ever. We could have the worst week ever. But when we come together like this, gathered as God's people, we're all level. We're all in the same place, and we worship God together. Some of us will worship from a place of celebration and joy, and others will worship from a place maybe of despondency, grief, disappointment. But the beautiful thing is, we all come together and we worship, and we all experience the same God. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. And I'm not sure if there's any other community or group where you find that leveling out like that. And it doesn't mean that all our problems go away, but you know, it's beautiful when we can come together and you're in a bad place and you can rejoice with those who are rejoicing, and if you're in a great place, you can grieve and you can comfort those who are suffering. And that is the beauty of why we gather as God's people. And the reason that we can do that is that in times of suffering, God is merciful and compassionate. God is merciful and compassionate in our times of suffering. God is kind. God is kind. We've already said, like, one of the ways that he displays his patience is by holding off, like, the return of Jesus, because he wants us to be in relationship with him. You know, when we're suffering, when things aren't going well, what goes through our mind? Do we think, well, God's punishing me, or God hates me, or these kind of things? Are we really saying that God wants to make our life miserable? If your experiences are telling you this, then we have to go back and look at Job, what we've done before, and remember that God will deal with you in the same way as he dealt with Job. When you're in difficult times, when you're struggling, he will deal with you in the same way. And when he dealt with Job, he was full of mercy and compassion. And when we're in these difficult times, we have to remember not what our circumstances are telling us, but what the Word of God is telling us. Now, that's not an easy thing, but that's part of our perseverance and our endurance that we push through and say, no, this is not what God has for me. This is not what God has done to me, because the truth of His Word tells us something otherwise. Let me give you just a few references in the Old Testament that speak of God's mercy and compassion. Exodus 34 and 6, it said, the Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. At the time that God said this, the children of Israel had, after being told, or they were given the commandment to have no other God other than the God, our God, they built a golden calf to worship as their God. This is the context of this happening. And it's a low point in the history of the children of Israel. And God had a sense of anger towards that, because obviously, you know, the Bible tells us that God is a jealous God. We have to be careful how we interpret that, but He's a jealous God. But He wants people to worship Him, not because He is afraid of other gods or other things being worshipped, but that is the best thing for His people. And Moses asked them to be patient and to hold back any punishment from the people, and God did it. And that's a great example of God's mercy and compassion, especially, if you like, for those who don't deserve it. The children of Israel had went 100% against what God had instructed them to do. And when Moses asked them to be compassionate and gracious, He was. In Nehemiah chapter 9, it says this about the people. They refused to obey and did not remember the miracles You had done for them. This is Nehemiah talking to God. Instead, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to take them back to their slavery in Egypt. But You are a God of forgiveness, gracious and merciful, slow to become angry, and rich in unfailing love. You did not abandon them. This is Nehemiah in a prayer reminding God and himself of the mercy and compassion that he showed, that God showed to a people who were rebelling against him. And think how compassionate and merciful and loving God is to you when you're in a circumstance and maybe you're not taking it to God in the way that He wants you to. What's He going to do? Is He going to punish you, or is He going to show you mercy and compassion? I think the Word tells us that this is a God that is patient, who's merciful and compassionate. David in the Psalms says this of God's compassion. He says, You, Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Psalm 102, verse 13. Again, David praying to God, saying, You will arise and have mercy on Jerusalem. Now is the time to pity her. Now is the time You promised to help. This is another prayer for help. And when you're in a difficult time, when you think there's nothing more that can be done, you can cry out to God. There's prayers here in the Psalms that are prayers for help, and remind God of how compassionate and merciful and gracious He is. He will answer that prayer. And we can expect God to show compassion, because that's what His Word is saying about Him. Joel 2 also talks about God being merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. He's eager to relent and not to punish. And then Jonah, he says, Jonah is a strange case. Here's a guy who knew how to complain. Jonah complained to the Lord. And he said, Didn't I say before I left home that You would do this, Lord? That's why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that You were a merciful and compassionate God, slow to anger and filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn back from destroying people. Just in Jonah, right? Jonah's an interesting character. If you read the book of Jonah, you know that Jonah was instructed by God to go to a city called Nineveh to preach to the people to turn away from their sin and turn towards God. Jonah didn't want to do it because he hated the people of Nineveh and he didn't think they deserved God's compassion and mercy. So he went in the opposite direction to a city called Tarshish, and you know, he was waylaid on the journey by getting swallowed by a great fish. But he repented to God, went to Nineveh, preached as God had told him to do. The Ninevites repented, and God's plan for Jonah was worked out. But actually, Jonah, even though he was successful in his preaching, wasn't happy with the outcome. Because he actually said to God, he said, I knew you would do that, that if I went there, you would save all these people and you would show compassion and mercy, and I didn't want you to do that. And, you know, I was thinking today, like, what does God want me really to say about this? And I thought, you know, Jonah, even though he saw God doing amazing things in Nineveh, he wanted to stay in an angry place. He wanted to stay angry because of what he saw as an injustice, even though God had said, no, that's not my plan. And I wonder, like, is sometimes that a place that we like to stick around in? That place of, like, I want to stay angry. I want to keep my bitter feelings towards that because it feels more like justice than if I forgive and let go and give things over to God. Yeah. I feel like that sometimes. Sometimes it's nice to feel that you're in the right or you're on the right side of the line. But imagine if God treated us like that. You see, we have to remember this compassion and mercy that God has directed towards us is everything that he wants us to direct towards other people. When we are down at the food pantry, you know, sometimes we are asked questions like, why are you helping these people? Like, they've made a mess of their life. That's their problem. They've got themselves into that place. And sometimes, like, it's a hard conversation to have. But, you know, for us, when we're there, like, we just want to love people. And we want to be generous to them, whether they deserve it or not. Because that's not, who am I to judge someone's circumstances and say you're not deserving? You know, that's God. That's God's choice. He's the judge. He knows. Our job is to do what God has done for us. He expresses compassion and mercy. And it's easy to stay in an angry place and a bitter place. And sometimes it feels better. Because we feel like, yeah, we're in the right here. These Old Testament examples, I'd encourage you to go and read of God's mercy and compassion. But for us, like, God showed us ultimately in sending Jesus to die for us and to give us the opportunity for eternal life. That's his ultimate expression of compassion and mercy to us. I seem to be quoting this most famous verse every week at the moment, John 3:16. But God loved the world so much that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. That's the ultimate act of mercy and the compassion from God. And this is the kind of God that we have when we're suffering. So as I close, I just want to remember, I want to leave here today knowing that God is merciful and compassionate. God is not out to get us. God does not want to banish us or respond to our sin or our disobedience in a judgmental way. His heart is to be in relationship with all of his people. He loves us. He loves us. And I can't tell you why we have to suffer sometimes like we do, but I think we know we live in a broken world and suffering seems to come with the territory. But when we do suffer, we need to remember not the old woe is me, but to remember that God is merciful and compassionate. Earlier on in James, in verse 9, we didn't read it today, but it says this. James encourages us not to grumble. He says, don't grumble about each other. And you know, sometimes when we're in those bad places, one of the things that we can do is just grumble and complain and talk about other people and blame other people for circumstances and that kind of thing. And again, you know, imagine if God's heart was just grumbling about us all the time. Oh, there's Andrew again. Same mistake over and over again. You know, he doesn't want us to do that. And, like we said before, as we come together, gather as church to worship, be together, listen to the word of God, you know, the worst thing we can do is be in an environment where we're all grumbling. Can you imagine? And I don't think, we don't have a lot of grumblers, I don't think. And if you are a grumbler, come and tell me. And we'll grumble together and we'll pray and sort it out. But, you know, this thing about being patient and being long-suffering, if we're being impatient, one thing we will do is grumble and complain about each other. And I don't think it's a major issue, but I just felt God wanted me just to share that this morning. Like, you know, that let's remember to be tender-hearted with each other and consider it that maybe someone's behaving the way they are because there's something in the background that you can't see. And maybe the response to a complaint or a grumble from someone is everything okay? Not who do you think you're talking to? Yeah? You know, there's always something behind it. And I believe that that's how God wants us to be with each other in this context and beyond.